Welcome to Swiss Info, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Hello and thanks for joining us. I'm Tim Neville. This week, Switzerland's under-17 soccer squad comes home from Nigeria with a World Cup title, an infant boy becomes the country's first swine flu fatality, and one man who's made a literary killing from his days as a Swiss banker.
I owe a lot, a debt of gratitude to my time working in Swiss banking.
But first, the week's main news. Earlier this year, Switzerland and the United States settled a tax evasion dispute that requires big bank UBS to hand over account data on 4,450 American clients. But the details on which clients the Americans want weren't released until November 17th. Joining me from our Zurich studio is Matthew Allen, our business correspondent. So, Matt, I'm an American with a Swiss bank account. Will my information be handed over?
Well, Tim, if you have declared your assets to the U.S. tax authorities, you'll be fine. But if you tried to hide them, you might be in trouble, particularly if those assets were in excess of 1 million Swiss francs at any point between 2001 and 2008. That threshold is lowered to 250,000 Swiss francs if there is evidence of fraud. Also, if that account earned on average 100,000 Swiss francs per year for a period of 3 years, then your name is also likely to be handed over. If, in addition, you have tried to hide your identity through a foreign holding company in Singapore or Hong Kong, then the IRS is very much aware of this scheme and will be onto you as well.
This has clearly been a troubled time for the bank. UBS has reported losses for 7 of the last 8 quarters. But you went to a meeting this week where UBS announced a plan for sailing back into blacker ink. What's new?
Well, I've heard these such claims before in the last couple of years. This time is a bit more believable because we have a new management and the bank is no longer on the edge of a cliff. It has reached financial stability. They're announcing how they want to move on. They want to increase trading in their investment bank to increase revenues and get their profits up. And they also want to reposition their wealth management business. They are going to focus on onshore activities in Germany and the UK, also in emerging markets. They're also looking at the very ultra-high net worth individuals, people with spare cash of $1 billion or more, and that's how they hope to keep that side of the business going as well.
Swiss Info's Matthew Allen speaking to us from Zurich. In Bern, hundreds of students on November 18th occupied the biggest lecture hall at the city's university, preventing more than 1,000 other students from attending class. Sit-ins unfolded at universities in Basel and Zurich as well. Students wanted to air their grievances over items like the Bologna process, a Europe-wide move to make higher education more compatible and comparable across the continent. A student named Daniel told Swiss Info what's wrong.
The big problem is actually that the Bologna process stops education. You can't reflect about things. You haven't got time anymore to think about something, to try to really go deep in something. It's only learn, and it's no education, it's kind of reflecting what you learn.
A baby boy has become Switzerland's first swine flu fatality. The nearly 5-month-old infant died of the H1N1 virus in Basel about a week ago. Since then, 2 women have also died from complications related to the virus. All of the victims had other health conditions. Doctors said the baby had a heart problem and a possible immune deficiency. By November 20th, swine flu cases had tripled in Switzerland to 4,500. A national voluntary vaccination program has already begun. In sports, Swiss cyclist Fabian Cancellara has learned he'll get bumped up from bronze to silver for his 2008 performance during the men's Olympic road race in Beijing. Officials said David Rebollin, who took second, would be stripped of his silver medal on doping charges. I spoke to Cancellara, who said the upgrade was good news, but nothing could replace the thrill of standing on the podium.
The emotions are more important than the medal, because the medal is there, but you say when you're not on the podium on the Tour de France, when you win a big time trial, that's different. I mean, okay, for me, the bronze medal was already like a gold medal.
Speaking of golden moments, fans lined up outside Zurich Airport to welcome home their newest heroes, Switzerland's under-17 soccer team. The teens delivered a pro-like performance in Africa to beat host Nigeria 1-0 in the World Cup final on November 15th. A big but pointless question, could the teens beat the national squad? Swiss Info readers seem to think so. An informal poll on our homepage showed 62% believe they could. Others praised the team's multinational roster. Reader Lucy Fair from the United States hoped the team's dual citizens would stick around for Switzerland's big league.
Congratulations to the young Swiss lads. As for the 13 dual nationals, it's pretty likely that most of them will choose to play for Switzerland if they're good enough. Ultimately, though, it doesn't matter what their country of origin is. It's what country they consider home. And I bet for most of them, home is Switzerland, and not just because it has better chocolate.
Danjuma from Switzerland said the Nigerians could learn something from the Swiss team's attitude.
The Swiss taught the Nigerians a valuable lesson. Technical skills must be matched with soft skills like teamwork. Otherwise, your team would always remain a non-starter.
Emmanuel Brown from Nigeria agreed.
Yes, we lost the match due to selfishness. We had the better chances, but we failed to capitalise and lost the cup to a side with teamwork. Let this be an eye-opener to our coaches and future players.
Our story about the university protests also fired up some readers, like Peter from the US.
Can someone please give me one or two significant examples of socialist institutions that have not crumpled under the weight of inefficiency, bureaucracy, and mediocrity? Like it or not, humans and the institutions they create need competition to improve and evolve.
But in the UK, plenty of people would have to find alternative funding for their PhD if sponsored places were scrapped.
Countered Vicky from Switzerland.
Every government has to tread the line between getting money for commercial research and funding research that may take years to prove its worth. As a student, I was glad I was able to come out of university with a degree in something that would work in the real world.
Suspense, intrigue, murder. Coming up, we check in with a Swiss-American author who has mined his days as a Zurich banker for best-selling thrillers. But first, it's time for Gotthard, this week's featured artist. This cut is Shangri-La. More from Gotthard at the end of the program. A banker is murdered in the heart of Zurich. A beautiful woman falls down a crevasse in the Swiss Alps to her death. The hero searches for truth. No, it's not Ian Fleming, but Swiss-American author Christopher Reich, whose tales of international espionage and financial skullduggery are bestsellers in the United States. One of his latest books, Rules of Deception, is being developed into a film by Paramount Pictures. Brad Pitt is up to play the protagonist. The California-based author was recently in Zurich to talk about his books to mark the 10th anniversary of Oral Fuseli, the city's English bookshop. Isabel Label Johnson caught up with him.
Christopher Reich, whose father is Swiss but who mostly grew up in the US, lived in Switzerland for 8 years from the late 80s, working, among others, for a large Swiss bank. He put his experiences to good use in his first book, Numbered Account, for which he landed a $750,000 publishing deal after giving up his job to become a writer. It became a bestseller.
I write thrillers, big espionage novels, and the most important part is called the inciting incident, the first kind of spark that gets the story going. And the spark from my first book, Numbered Account, came from literally my second day on the job at the Union Bank of Switzerland in Geneva. And so I owe a lot, a debt of gratitude to my time working in Swiss banking.
In the opening scene, a banker working for the United Swiss Bank, or USB, is brutally murdered as he makes his way home on Christmas Eve. All the more shocking, considering Switzerland's famously low crime rate. Later, the book switches to a meeting within the bank, witnessed by the hero who is trying to uncover the mystery of his father's death while working at the bank years before, in which a US law enforcement official addresses the employees. Reich himself witnessed a similar event. Switzerland features again in Rules of Deception, one of Reich's latest books and the first of a series. This time, the action starts in the mountains in Graubünden in southeastern Switzerland. Dr. Jonathan Ransom and his English wife Emma are climbing a peak. Emma falls to her death, but Ransom later finds out that his wife may not be all that she seems to be. Here's Reich.
Well, my father's family comes from Arosa. So growing up, we go skiing every spring up in Arosa. So I thought, you know, when they say the first rule of writing is write what you know. So I said, I can envision Arosa perfectly in my head, so I will set the story there.
The author's intimate knowledge of Switzerland is apparent in the books. Characters tuck into local specialities, and the Swiss fondness for orderliness and rules all come to the fore. Reich says Americans love exotic destinations in their novels and that he enjoys taking them round beautiful Switzerland. And fans may soon be able to enjoy the locations on the big screen. Rules of Deception is being developed as a film and already has a budget of $125 million, according to Reich.
The script is right out to Brad Pitt, who loves it, so we're trying to get him involved. And we're just a step away because it's a very, if you've read the book, it's a very big kind of expensive movie. You could just see it. And so we need a really big movie star.
Sienna Miller is among the English actresses being considered for Emma. The next book, Rules of Vengeance, also featuring Jonathan and Emma, has been a bestseller. Reich is currently writing the third, and he says he'll continue with the series as long as people want to keep reading it.
Both these books, they've met with a great response, which is very gratifying, obviously, for me. But, you know, when I sit down to write these books, I only try to write for myself the most exciting, the most involving kind of, and romantically inspiring book that I can.
Isabel Leibold Johnson filed that report. Christopher Reich is the author of numerous books, including Numbered Account and The Devil's Banker. Rules of Deception is published by Anchor Books. That's all for this week's program. To learn more about the stories you've heard or to download a podcast of the show, head to swissinfo.ch. We'll leave you with the title track from Gotthard's newest album, Need to Believe. The hard rock band from Lugano has sold upwards of 2 million albums worldwide. More music like this can be found on swissmusic.swissinfo.ch. I'm Tim Neville. Thanks for listening.
Sometimes I don't know why I feel I wanna start crying. I see the children's eyes, I've seen their hope fade away.